Hi, and welcome.
I'm Z.
And I'm Keith.
And we're going to tell you about the movie that we just watched. But first, a little bit of a heads up.
Some of the movies we watched deal with heavy subject matters.
In order to talk about these emotionally delicate things and the heavy subject matters that we sometimes cover, we add humor and crude language to add some levity and to process our own trauma.
If that doesn't feel fun or safe for you, we completely understand. Please take care of yourself first and foremost.
And we spoil the end of pretty much every movie that we watch.
Now you know. On with the show. No.
Yeah.
You started this.
I.
You created this character.
This is a thing. I think we've talked about it before.
Yep. But
this is where if I.
It is an umbrella invitation.
If I do a bit, especially if it's an exaggerated bit, he's like, oh, we're doing improv bits now? And he's just like, let's go. And then he just starts saying shit. He just starts going for it. And it's like, it's so fucking funny. Like, the first...
The best thing, though, is that you'll do, like, an entire sentence. And I'm like, oh, who's this guy? Meaning, let's explore. but then I'm just like, two words. Here's another. Is this a guy yet?
Fucking, but my favorite was when we were in bed and I said a bit, and whenever I say a bit and it lands, that's all I'm looking for. And Keith, we're laying in bed. It was first thing in the morning. He literally like rockets himself into a sitting position and starts going, and starts doing this bit. And it's so fucking funny to me. He's like, and he's just like, you know, getting himself, adjusting the blankets. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I did a bit. And you're like, oh, yes, fuck. Hey. It's so hard. Like, what's a bit happening?
Doesn't ring
like,
true.
I did a bit. I was just like, he said something. I riffed off of that. And so he's just been like, ever since I recorded the podcast. And he's like, so what? Like, part of it comes from, and I do feel a little bit of guilt in that's a lie, but I don't know what else to say. I'm really good at voices and accents. And Keith...
I'm notoriously not.
Keith hates me for that, and that's...
I'm real resentful because I'm so envious.
And so...
It's something I feel like I should be good at.
Well, my favorite thing is that I'll do an accent, and he'll be like, oh, if you could do it, I can do it. And he just starts trying immediately.
Yeah, and it's not at all close.
And then I have to not react because I don't want to laugh because that's not in the...
Cruel?
Yes. Like, I, you know, and then he'll just... And so I have to, like, kind of just sit there with, like, looking like fucking Clifford being like... And...
The big red dog?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so nuts. This, I don't think you liked this movie as much as I did.
Okay. I really don't know. We have not talked about
that's
it
true,
at all.
That's true. You just seemed not.
I did not hate it as much as I expected to.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll give it that.
I think there was a lot of very interesting things about this movie. Like, I really enjoy, I'm like, oh, I wish I could see it as a play. I really wish I could have seen it as a play, right? Because it absolutely
Knowing
felt like
a play.
I liked, I liked the you know, there's a few things of it that I'm like, oh, we don't need this. But I was, I think one of the things that really, one of the things that really compelled me to want to watch it was like, Barbra Streisand is playing a fucking escort. Like, and that doesn't seem like something that she would do. And it seemed like a very strange sort of, you know, storyline. So I was like, okay, I want to see it. And I think I kept laughing because they, you know.
For me, it was the hardest ask
it
of
was,
the movie.
It true. And like that, I don't think that she acted it poorly, but she acted it like she was doing a play. Which is fine.
Right. Yeah.
And that, it's, you know, that's probably her fourth, you know, she was performing for an audience that wasn't there, it felt like. So I was like, ugh, this would have been really interesting to see in a theater.
Right.
And the dynamics of everything in a theater. So there was, there was a lot of it that I was like in really intrigued by and that I really enjoyed because I've said this a million times and this is always the case. I'm such a sucker for anything that either looks like it could be a play or is like very much based on a play and like it doesn't try to steer away from that.
Cinematify it or some shit.
And so like this mainly takes place in a courtroom.
Yeah.
And the majority of the film is in a courtroom. And I was very fascinated by that. And that's, oh, I'm such a sucker for that. I'm such a sucker for shit that's just like, you know, I think I could have dealt more with like, I think I would have been sucked in even more if it did like long, like panning shots of like the courtroom, you know, in silence and shit. I'd be like, this is a fucking cinematic brilliance, motherfucking, oh. I
would do the, what's his name, Vince Gilligan trick of just doing a lot of straight top downs to like an empty room.
Yeah. Like anything that's like, or even like how,
or like one person.
Maleficent. Wait, what is it? Is that what it is? Malignant? No, Malignant.
Different movie.
Yeah. Malignant, how when it's following her, that was like the only good part of the entire film. Like, I love stuff that like, you know, you are actually going on a journey with someone.
Yeah.
And that's like showing you, you know, what this, I don't know. Is anything where it like artistically shows you just what you're looking at is very interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway. So Richard Dreyfuss was in this and we on the podcast, we don't enjoy Richard Dreyfuss. We, one might say,
is this number three?
Hate.
Because Silent Fall.
Silent Fall.
And then I feel like there was something else to do. Oh, well, he was briefly in Postcards.
He was. Yes. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think we've been able, I still want to do Stakeout. I really want to do Stakeout.
Came out the same year as this.
I know.
He also, this year, same year, 10 Men.
Yeah, what is that?
It's, I think it's him and Danny DeVito. Oh my God. Rival used car salesman. I believe. I've seen it, as well as Stakeout.
Touchstone Pictures presents Richard Dreyfuss.
I live with you. It's like pressing the point. They bring all these things with them, you know, they go into the bathroom. You see things you never saw before.
Danny DeVito.
Listen, I'm praying here. Will you go around?
I went to get some of the salad.
It's out of water. Go around.
Barbara Hershey.
Everything I've ever done my whole life has been safe and practical. And what's it gotten me? What's it gotten me?
Tin Men.
Well, here's to who knows what.
Amen.
So I said I couldn't wait to look up some stuff on Richard Dreyfuss. So I was looking up the things I knew, like his Othello bullshit, which I'll quote some of that in a minute. But
hang on, let's introduce the segment properly. We'll give a little pause and I'll put in a little.
Richard Dreyfuss is an asshole.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you want me to do it without, you? Talking at all so that you can have a proper.
I can erase myself.
Oh, that's right. You can. I forgot about that. It records separately. I forgot about them. Anyway.
That's why we have separate microphones.
So, I'm just used to my own voice and editing myself. So, I Googled. I was just like, you know what? I don't want to work for this.
Richard Dreyfuss sex crime.
No, I literally Googled Richard Dreyfuss is an asshole or Richard Dreyfuss asshole. That's it. And I got, first thing that popped up was him, like images of him groping fans from, he was like in a Broadway production or something or in a play in like the early aughts. And some fans went backstage to meet him. And they've recently come out with photographic evidence of him just like putting his hands all over them in like a really ridiculous way. And they talk about how uncomfortable they were and how they were like, one of them said like the way he was acting, they were like, he was trying to get us to go out with him. Like after, like, they were like, we just were like, no, it's okay. Haha. We have something else to do. They're like, both of them were like laughing in the pictures. And they're like, it was nervous laughter because we did not know how to respond because we were so uncomfortable. And like, and they said that he was just like, they were like, he was talking so fast. We could like hardly understand anything he was saying. And he just kept going on. And like, he seemed like he really wanted us to like stay and like hang out or something. And it was really uncomfortable. And they were like, we left and it was just like, they were like, it wasn't like he knew us or who we were. We could have been anyone. He just was like talking at us. And was like, they were like, it was really uncomfortable. So anyway, he's a groper. He's like literally his hand just like gripping someone's ass. Jesus. And like his hands on their boob and like crotch and shit like that. Yeah. Like horrible. But I'm going to read you some of the Otello bits.
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. He's such a piece of shit. I love it. I love shitting on the dry. he's so fucking...
Shit on the dry.
Okay, let's see. Okay. So, apparently, first announced in 2020 by the Academy after years of criticism against its overwhelmingly white winners and nominees, the rules, there's new rules that are going to affect in 2025 and only apply to the best picture category, which hopefuls needing to achieve certain benchmarks, hopefuls that want to achieve the nomination will have to reach certain benchmarks in order to qualify for consideration. These benchmarks aren't particularly difficult to reach. All films need to meet just 2 out of 4 standards in on-screen representation: crew inclusivity, internship opportunities, or marketing representation. Oh, wow. I don't know why I said 4 and they only listed 3, but...
Well, maybe one cast?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. But Dreyfuss said they, quote, make him vomit. It's an art. No one should be telling me as an artist that I have to give in to the latest, most current idea of what morality is. What are we risking? Are we really risking hurting people's feelings? You can't legislate that, Dreyfuss told Hoover. You have to let life be life. I'm sorry. I don't think there is a minority or a majority in the country that has to be catered to like that, said a white man.
Yeah. Who is a majority who has been catered to all his life?
Although the film was well received at the time and Olivier received an Oscar nomination for his performance, this is talking about Laurence, right? Wait, no. Who is it?
Otello.
Laurence Olivier.
As Othello?
Yeah, as Othello. Oscar. Although this film was well received at the time and Olivier received an Oscar nomination for his performance, it also attracted controversy due to Olivier's use of heavy blackface to play Othello, a military commander with a, quote, Moor background. And this is now Richard Dreyfuss. He played a black man brilliantly. Am I being told that I will never have a chance to play a black man, Dreyfuss said? So that's why we on the pod fucking can't stand that piece of shit. He also can't act worth shit. I'm sorry.
So like, it wasn't even that he was pissed he may not get to play Othello. It's just
he wants
to play a black. He wants to have the option to do blackface. Right.
Which someone when he first said this, someone came out and was like was talking. I mentioned this before also, but any opportunity to talk up Patrick Stewart, they said that Patrick Stewart wanted to play Othello. And he'd always, you know, he like studied Shakespeare. This was an extremely important thing. So he just race swapped the entire thing. So he played Othello as the only white person, and the entire rest of the cast was black. And they were like, even that might be controversial now. Sure. It might not be able to be done. They're like, it literally shows you that you don't have to like play you don't have to do blackface. You can have like, imagine like, so like, I think that's a really important example, though, because like, an entire cast of black people and one person is white because they wanted to play a character that was the only black character in a play. That's insanely like more interesting and like, let's have a conversation about it. Let's talk about the upside. Oh my God. That's like, oh, this kind of gives more opportunities to black actors. So is this more, you know, like, oh wow, this is an interesting conversation piece. He did that in the 1990s. Okay. So this was 30 fucking years ago that he was like, I'm not going to play a black man because that's fucking weird. I'm going to play a white dude and I'm going to just race swap the cast, which I kind of hate saying race swap because I think that sort of like, what do you call it? Undermines it a little bit. Like it's saying just like, oh, you just race swap the character, which I feel like a lot of people accuse people of doing. Like, I feel like race swap is usually used in a negative thing, but usually when you're talking about like whitewashing a character or something like that, you know, and sometimes, you know, whatever. Anyway, so that's like a very, but like, that's such a great example of
just gender swap and like you've dealt with.
Correct. Yeah. So yeah, I just think that that's such an interesting, especially considering it was 30 years ago when there was still, I mean, there still is, I don't want to say blackface still happens because it's not to the same degree, but there is still that sort of like Ariana Grande doing the whole thing where she like self-tanned to the point that people thought she was mixed. She is a fucking white girl. Like, she literally self-tanned to the point that like Lana Del Rey like made this list of like people that she named, and it was all black women except for Ariana Grande, and people are like, she literally thought she was listing a bunch of black women. Like, she did not know Ariana Grande was white because she listed a bunch of people.
It's a scene from Abbott Elementary.
Yeah. Anyway, it's just like, I love shitting on
Richard Dreyfuss. I don't know why this gets a pass. Fucking Tropic Thunder?
Well, okay, I will say,
I get it because the characters.
No, because I think what it is it's like, it's mostly an absolute like, I'm not saying it gets a pass. Like, that's not what I'm trying to say. But like, a lot of black folks appreciate it specifically because it is straight up like, it's doing the thing. It's like lampshading, sort of. It's like saying like this. He like does the thing where he literally like is a method actor. So he's doing it all the time. So he's like inserting himself into things he shouldn't. And it's like a very, you know, obnoxious, very clearly not, you know, you're doing something wrong, you know. And it's I'm not saying.
To be fair, I've never actually watched the movie. So
right. It's something that I've watched it one time. It's a Ben Stiller movie, and I really don't like Ben Stiller. Right. So that's the only thing that's kept me from rewatching it. Also, Tom Cruise is in it in a fat suit, so I feel like that's more problematic than anything. Just having Tom Cruise in a film, but it's something that I'd be interested to rewatch. But a lot of people don't hate on it. A lot of black folks specifically don't hate on it because of how it. And I'm not saying. No black folks hanging on it. I'm just saying it's, I don't want to say it gets a pass. It's just like a lot of times people are like, oh, you have to watch the movie to get it. But, and so that's my only, I'm not going to defend it, but I'm also not going to say.
Is it the same movie where the same, you see the same character playing a, their career got tanked by playing a mentally.
Yes and no. Yes, that is the same movie, but that's Ben Stiller. Like Ben Stiller's career
Ben Stiller's
got.
Character.
He went, yeah. He went, like, please bleep this out. I swear to God. But he, the quote of the movie is he went full retard.
Right.
And it's very, yeah. So he gets, yeah. And like it tanked his career because they were like, oh, you went full. So. Yeah, I don't know. It's okay. It's one of those things. I'd be really interested to rewatch the movie because I don't remember a lot of it. I just remember I watched it. And it was like still when I was kind of obsessively attracted to Robert Downey Jr., which has gone away. But, it, you know, he's doing blackface and wearing prosthetics the whole film. So I was like, this didn't do it for me. You'll be surprised to learn. But he's
anyway,
such a good
sorry.
Actor.
Sorry to take us off.
No. But yes, Richard Dreyfuss, what a fucking turd. He's just such a, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What did you eat for breakfast?
Your mama.
That's so gross. It smells like berries or something. It smells like cake or something. I can just smell it so
rice.
Strong. That's crazy. Maybe I'm pregnant. I love making that joke. Now that there's zero possibility. So in my mind, I'm like, that joke's funny now because it literally can't happen. Like the same with like when I was in a lesbian relationship, I'd be like, guess I'm not pregnant. Like anytime I started my period, I thought it was funny. And then
see, that is funny.
And then and then when we got together.
You're telling me I'll never be able to make that joke? As a not a lesbian?
As a not a lesbian.
As a not a lesbian.
Anyway. Yeah. So, okay. Let's set the stage for this film. So.
Was that it for.
For now. I was like, this is enough. I really don't want to actually. I watched this movie. I had to stop when I watched this clip on YouTube that's just, it says Richard Dreyfuss is an asshole is the title of the YouTube clip. And it's just someone like asking him questions on the red carpet because he like won an Oscar because, you know, I guess they hate anybody that, I don't know, whatever. They hate themselves so they let him win or whatever. So they were like asking him about like, being like one of the youngest actors to win or something like that. And he's like, he's just like, he's acting like he, it's like someone like asking him questions about like winning the Oscar and how it changed his life. And he says like, it made my life longer.
Stars, including Richard Dreyfuss, who at age 30 became one of the youngest people to ever win an Oscar. How did that change your life?
You'll probably be able to find it. All you have to do is look up Richard Dreyfuss is an asshole and you can insert a clip of his fucking voice. Please do a thing where, I mean, now that I'm saying it, you won't do it, but whatever. You should, in the, you know, the Smoking Bandit episode of King of the Hill where Dale sends his video and it's just like, it's talking. Any clips of Richard that have Richard Dreyfuss, just please pitch his voice up and so that it's like indistinguishable, like you can't fucking understand it. So it's not like that. I just hate him so much.
Hey, train spotting, dial it down a skosh.
Exactly. Oh God. So, Bob Streisand plays. I almost said Bette Midler. I was like,
thank you. No. That's validating.
I don't think that's right. So
it's anti-Semitic.
So we sort of like open on her in lockup, like county lockup or whatever, and they're calling her to her arraignment or some shit, and then they're saying that she's like mentally unfit to stand trial, so that she should go to a mental hospital. And she's just like, I think this is the thing that I really think it's a very interesting and compelling story. And I kind of wish that it was done a little bit better, because I think it's really important. And what she says about it is really important to think about when you're talking about like mental hospitals that are meant to like help people, and the way that they just absolutely sever autonomy. And so she's, so they're like, okay, well, she's mentally unfit, and they're just going to like basically just put her in a hospital. And she freaks the fuck out in court. And she's like, I don't want this. I don't want you to like, and her parents, I guess, paid for a lawyer. And she's like, I don't want this. And he's like, well, this is what you're going to get, because this is what, you know, like doctors have said, you're unfit. Mm-hmm. And so she like freaks out. She attacks him. And then he's like, fuck you, I'm not going to be your lawyer anymore. And she's like, good, I don't want you to be my lawyer.
We have to claim that you're incompetent to stand trial. Do you understand?
No! I didn't give you permission to do that. I'm not incompetent.
Of course you're not, dear.
I'm innocent.
I know you are, but that's not the issue.
What do you mean it's not the issue?
The doctors agree, and your mother and father agree. It's best if you're in the hospital rather than in the prison.
Damn, I don't give a shit what they say.
Your mother and father love you. It's all been arranged.
You goddamn son of a bitch! Stop her!
Anyway, they cart her out, and so they need, like, someone. They basically, she doesn't have an attorney. The guy that punched her in the face, or the guy that she punched in the face, is refusing to even like continue. So they don't have anyone on her side. So they just pull someone, one of the like defense attorneys or whatever, that's like works for the state. They just
public defender.
Thank you. They just pull someone, and it happens to be Richard Dreyfuss. And he's like, oh God, I don't want to do this. And so he decides, you know, he sees that she freaked out. He sees that he doesn't know anything about the case. So he asks basically for an extension. He doesn't want to just put her in a home or like put her in a mental hospital. And they're like, and her parents are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why don't you want to help her? And he's like, no, I do want to help her. It's just, I don't know anything about the case. And I want to at least talk to her and find out why she doesn't want to be put in a hospital, and like see what's going on, and maybe get a new doctor or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's like, I just want to, you know what I'm doing. I don't want to like screw everyone over by just agreeing to something without knowing more, which I'm like,
and the scene, the way it's framed too, is that the judge is like, look, man, we just need you to sign off on
right.
this.
Yeah. And it looked like, right. And I think something was really interesting about
it. And that continues sort of
right,
throughout.
Everybody's
the
like the easiest. Yeah. Why aren't you going the easiest route? Why aren't you taking the easiest option? Why aren't you doing the easiest thing? And I think that's so, I really wish that it had, I understand that it's going more for like a character driven story, but it's so fucking important that she's a, like there's a couple times that even like she said, cause it's like 1987, right?
When this came out, yeah. The play was,
oh, that's, yeah. I just mean like this isn't like the late 90s or some shit. Like this is like from 40 fucking years ago. So it's just really interesting that like she says something about like how upset it makes everyone that she's like a white girl.
Yeah.
Like a rich white girl. So like why is she doing this? And that's upsetting people's expectations. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, that's like a really interesting sort of like commentary.
And I think it's the doctor, I think the Eli Wallach, Dr. Mm-hmm. Morrison, says something about this is a nice upper class girl.
Right, yeah.
We're not talking about a defendant here. We're talking about a very troubled girl. She's not a girl from the streets. She's a bright upper class girl who couldn't cope, broke down. She's a girl with a history, broke down. She became a prostitute and in a homicidal rage killed one of her.
Excuse me, Your Honor, I object.
I chalk that up to the play being written in, or like, it was being performed in 1980.
Interesting.
So it's.
Yeah.
Very 70s in that way.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, so basically, I really hated I know why they did it, because they don't, because I think people would be too kind of upset, especially in the 80s, and it being like, you know, a Barbra Streisand film. But I really fucking hated like the title cards at the end being like, and then here's what happened for the rest of the story, because literally the entire thing is just a competency hearing.
Yep.
Whether she's able to stand trial for murder, and that's it.
Manslaughter.
Okay. And that's it. Yep. Like, and that's such an interesting idea. And when they ask her, cause they're like doing all this stuff and they're interviewing like doctors and her family and like all these things. And she's like very upset, and she's like very like visibly upset. And she keeps like speaking, you know, like out of turn and getting in trouble and like all this stuff. And like, she's very like, you know, like, I do think it's really interesting though. Like, I kind of hate that like Richard Dreyfuss's character seems to like have an affection for her, because I'm like, we don't need that. Like, it's weird.
Yeah, no, it undermines
it. I mean, like, it's fetishy, and like, I get that aspect of it, because I'm like, of course that would happen if you're like, you know, your client is a prostitute. So there's going to be this like aspect of like taboo attached to it, where you don't know where you're, where, you know, speaking as someone who's a prostitute. No, I'm just kidding. Speaking as someone who like prostitute. Yeah, just like sometimes people will cross lines and they don't really realize it, because that's your job. So they think that it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, so I understand that a little bit, but it seemed like he was just like, oh, what a dame. You just got to get to know her. And I'm like, no, I don't want that. But like, he calls her like an asshole. He's like, she's really irritating. She's frustrating to deal with. And I'm like, no, I like that, because I something that really, I couldn't tell if I was like impressed with Streisand's performance of it, but it's a very unlikable character. Like, it was really hard for me to be on her side a lot of times. I found her frustrating. Yeah. I found her annoying. I found her privileged. Right. And I'm like, right, because she's someone who is not, you know, and when she goes on her spiel where she's like, I'm supposed to act a certain way, I'm supposed to behave a certain way, I'm supposed to do this a certain way. And when I upset that, then I'm crazy. And I'm like, oh, right. Yeah. Unfortunately, it was really smart. And I think the way that they went about doing it for like a Hollywood film, I think undermined a lot of the very important facts in it, because something that like, when they finally talk to her, when she's on the stand and they're like, why don't you want to be hospitalized? And she basically says like, because I read the law surrounding it. And if it's done right, I will just be in a hospital for the rest of my life. And I don't want to be hospitalized for the rest of my life. Like, it's just like, you know, they're like, but if you go to jail, or they're like, if you go to trial, you could go to jail. She's like, right, but I'll have a trial. Like,
yeah,
I'll be able to at least like
fucking due process.
Right. You know, she's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And like, she's not even able to talk about any of that stuff. And it shows like some of her, like there's aspects of it that I'm like, I don't know, because I mean, it was written in the, like you said, it was written in the 70s. So, okay. It was in the 80s. So I'm like, okay. But I'm like, I really have trouble thinking that she is like an escort for this amount of money. And she's taking men back to her. She's doing in calls and not out calls.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if she's going to bring like men who she's never. Now you can absolutely do in calls with men, but it's usually like regulars. It's usually people that you've vetted and know something about. So her bringing a guy who this is the first time she's met him home also. And again, I'm not saying that like this isn't possible for an in call, but the fact that she's like having like a date night, she's like supposed to be a high class escort, and she's like, well, your hour's up. And I'm like, oh, is that really how? I'm like, why would you bring him home? Yeah. There's a lot of in calls and stuff like that is so that you have the feeling like you are seeing a girlfriend, or you're having the experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, not all escorts offer the girlfriend experience, right. But it seemed like that's what she was trying to do a little bit, you know. So I was a little bit like, okay, I feel like they're just trying to make you.
She's also independent.
Right. That's another thing. I'm like, she doesn't have anyone. She doesn't have any protection. She doesn't have, which again, it was written in the 70s. So I don't really know. But like, I also feel like when you are a more high class escort, you likely are going to be going through an agency or something because there's going to need to be some amount of protections a little bit, you know? And like, she just.
And seemingly using her real name and stuff.
Right. Anyway. I mean, that's possible. Like, sometimes people do that. You know, there's just whatever. A lot of stuff that I was like, and I'm not saying that, like, it can't happen.
Well, she did study at a brothel in L.A.
Oh, right. I missed that part. But it's just, like, interesting that.
And schizophrenics.
Oh, you're talking about Barbra Streisand. I was like.
Yes, sorry.
Right. And that's fine, but, like. I mean, she probably wasn't like, well, here's my opinion, you know. I mean, I'm just going by what I know from, like, sex workers that I've, you know. And but, like, hotels are, you know, they exist for a reason. And if you're coming into town for the night or whatever, you know, that was the only thing. So anyway, like, her character, like.
Or I think a thing in the UK that people do is they have. Bed sits, right? Those kinds of apartments.
Well, I just know I've seen people talk about, like, in calls that they do, like, in their house and stuff like that, in their own place. Which that's what an in call is, I believe.
All I'm saying is that
people
will have a separate apartment.
Oh, right. Yeah. And like that makes sense, you know? But if I'm understanding correctly, I just want to say an in call is when you bring someone to your house and an out call is when you go somewhere. So it's like literally like it's a very literal like explanation. I've never done in calls or out calls. Just to be clear, I just am a sex worker advocate, I guess, in a sense. So I try to familiarize myself with sex work and terms and try to broaden my horizon and stuff like that. So whatever. But yeah, it was very, that was the only thing that I was like, okay, I feel like there's a lot of holes in this. Like she has a lot of high class upper, but like none of these people are like, she can't call any of these. I don't know. I was like, none of these people are worried that she's going to say anything about them or, you know, like, trying to get her a good lawyer or something just in case she makes a deal to like out a politician or something. I don't know. Like there's a lot of things where I'm like, you know, she could do a lot of stuff anyway, whatever. Or, you know, none of these guys are trying to get her committed. It was just her parents. And there's stuff like, you know, I'm not saying that it's not something that does or can't happen or isn't like rampant with sex workers, but like the fact that it's like, oh, she was molested as a kid or like abused as a kid. I'm like, this doesn't really have anything. I feel like it doesn't have anything to do with becoming a sex worker because I'm so sorry to tell you this. The majority of people that you know were just molested as kids. So you're probably going to find a high number of judges who were molested as kids. Sure. You're probably going to find a high number of cops who were molested as kids. You're probably going to find a high number of actresses who were molested as kids. You're going to find a high number of grocery store clerks that were whatever that were, you know, molested as kids because it's just something that happens. And if you really did the study and you like asked every single individual who'd ever been abused as a kid, whether or not they did, you know, what kind of job they had, you'd be surprised to find out that they do everything because it happens to a lot of us. So I really get so sick of that sort of characterization of like, and also the whole thing. Oh,
man, it was fucking literally one for one, like him bribing her as a kid.
I know that
paying her.
I did really like what she said about it though, how she said like, you know, you're seeing this as like something's wrong with me because I'm doing sex work. She's like, but I have so much more autonomy doing this than I would if I was doing something that I was supposed to do.
Yep.
Because if I'm supposed to be doing it, then I'm just doing what I'm told, and I'm not, like...
She's got the whole thing about, right. like, I know women who...
Yeah.
marry people they hate just so they can...
Right.
Summer in the Hamptons or right. whatever.
Right. Yes, exactly. Like, that whole spiel that she does.
You think giving blowjobs for $500 is nuts, huh? Well, I know women who marry men they despise so they can drive a Mercedes and spend summers in the Hamptons. I know women who crawl through shit for a fur coat. I know women who peddle their daughters to hang on to their husbands. So don't judge my blowjobs. They're sane.
I thought I was really good. I was a little bit annoyed that the judge was like, let her speak. I was like, why are we doing this?
Oh, yes.
That was so fucking annoying.
Yes.
I think it would have been something, like, I think it should have been, like, something where, like, they let her plead her case or something like that, like, or something, and not just, like, she was having one of her outbursts. Yeah. She was having one of her outbursts, and the judge was like, all right, go ahead. You've earned it, or whatever. I'm like, come on. And I do think it was really, sorry, I've talked so much about this. I'm so sorry. I do think it was really interesting how once it comes out that she was abused, like mm-hmm. once that, because like basically Richard Dreyfuss gets the stepdad to admit to it while he's on the stand, sort of like,
yeah,
not fully, but like he figures out by the, what the, like how upset she's getting at the idea of her parents testifying.
Oh, and because her drawings.
Oh, really?
Remember, he's like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Speak no evil, huh? What is it?
Oh, what right, right. speak no evil. I hope, you know, that's, I hope that's how the clip sounds. she, like, it comes out that, and like, I really do appreciate how sort of manipulative her parents are being, like how her mom like gets the letters out and throws them while she's on yes. the stand and shit like that. And like all this stuff, like it's, there's so much about it that's like, so it felt really, I had trouble with it a little bit because I was like, I cried at one point because I was like, wow, this is like really, like there's so much, you know, like when she, her and her mom hugged, you know, that was, I was just, I cried because I was like, of course I'm whatever.
Fell flat for me.
It was hard because I was like, this is, it felt so real because it's that thing of like the mom didn't actually do anything to repent or to right. ask for forgiveness. And she's just like getting it anyway. And it was like a very emotional thing that she was basically like giving her mom what she wanted. And like, she's still like, you didn't know if she was going to go to a mental hospital, like all that stuff. And I was like, it was just like really, really like, I don't know. It just felt really overwhelming. I don't know. It was very real for me. Anyway. So when it comes out in court, that and when Richard Dreyfuss is like, okay, you clearly were abusing your daughter. And there's just like the stepdad freaks the fuck out and he starts screaming. The mom starts fucking screaming. Barbara Streisand is like trying to run out of the courtroom, like just trying to get out. And she's like, oh my God, because he's like the stepdad is like trying to get to her. And so the, every, like there's all this stuff. And so they end up, it's a very, this part was really, really interesting to me. And I was like, this is such a really good thing. Again, I feel like they didn't really do a lot to emphasize what this is. But like the doctor that she, like in, at the hospital that she's staying while they're judging whether or not she needs to stay at that hospital, he drugs her because he says she was, you know, after the day she had, she was too upset, you know, which she didn't want to be drugged. He did it anyway. So it's like a thing of like, you know, it's breaking consent. And Richard Dreyfuss is like, what the fuck? You shouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, she's going to have trouble with her testimony tomorrow because she's going to be fuzzy because you, like, tranquilized her. Yep. And he's like, she shouldn't have to, you know, like, after the day she had, she needed it or whatever. And he's like, she didn't want it. What the fuck? Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, let her be upset, you know. And it, a lot of it is like, let a woman have emotions, which is what they didn't want to be doing. But when she's in court the next day, the judge is like, you could just sit there. You don't have to, you know, I know that you can be, she's like, why?
Yeah.
What are you doing? And he's like, you don't have to worry. You don't need to worry. You can just sit there and you don't have to, you know, take the stand. Your testimony can be taken where she's at. And she's like, what the fuck is this? She was just like, and she wasn't acting like groggy or like having a hard time. She was just like, it's fine. And she's like, and he's like, whatever you're comfortable with. And she's like, the stand. And he's like, if that's okay, you know, and they're all like, okay, you had a really hard day yesterday. And they're all like pampering her. And I'm like, oh, right. Because before they were seeing her as like a whore and now they're seeing her as the victim, you know? And so they're going overboard and, but it's still the same thing of like no autonomy the way that they're like, oh, you're doing this because you were abused. That's why. And it's such a fucking infantilizing sort of position to take with someone when you're like, oh, the reason why you are acting this way or the reason why that you're making these decisions that I see as something that are that's, you know, like morally, you know, wrong is because you were abused, you know. And sorry, I didn't realize I would have so much to say about this movie. It reminded me of, I won't say who it is because I don't actually want to name them and talk about their trauma because I think that's a little weird, but a sex worker that I follow, someone cracked a joke, like she, you know, it's one of those things where she has like millions of Twitter followers, so she gets a lot of
cool interactions.
Usually people are really cool with her. I'm not saying that as sarcastically. Sometimes, you know, with everything, she gets some shitty things. And someone like made a joke about like her, like she said something about like, I don't know. I don't remember what she said, but it was something like, you know, who's gonna come fuck me or I don't know, something, you know, sexually, like, you know, and someone made the joke of like your uncle or something like that. They said something and so she retweeted them and she was like, what really sucks about this is that I was actually abused by my uncle. So this joke is not funny for multiple reasons. And, you know, it was one of those, it was just something where sometimes she'll say stuff like that, where it's just like, you don't, you know, people don't need to make, but I'm a big creator. So I have more eyes on me. So I, you know, she'll use her voice. She's also black. I want to, you know, so, and someone like tweeted and said that ever, like a couple weeks later, someone was like, you know, ever since I read that this person, or ever since I saw that tweet where this person said that they were molested by their uncle, they're like, I can't enjoy their content anymore because it's just like so hard to like, you know, knowing that that happened to her. And she was just like, what the fuck? And it was just like, and I was like, it's so amazing how people will completely erase your autonomy because of that. Like they're, because someone was abused, it's sex work is no longer like that. What a you're choice. Doing, right. It's not a choice, but it's also like, oh, I can't objectify this person because they're a human being anymore.
Yeah, you know? Right.
And it's
right,
also, right. But it's also like, you're completely erasing the fact that despite this person having a very traumatic experience and being hurt with sex is now taking that back and made a career out of it. And she's so fucking funny. She's so amazing. She's a very like very, political person, you know, she will talk about Palestine. She does, you know, she's someone that like, I really, truly enjoy following her. I don't just follow her on like sex work accounts. I also follow her on my main accounts. And she's someone that I actually really thoroughly enjoy as a creator. I don't even watch her porn. I just really like her as a person. And I'm like, the fact that you can see that she's doing this and you are like, oh, she's just a wounded little kid. And it's like, bro, we all are. Like, that's it, everyone is. And to just like completely take away someone's ability to explore their sexuality in all forms just because they were abused as a kid, it's like, that's actually even more beautiful. I mean, something that I like, you know, because people do the whole thing of like, when you're molested as a kid, you know, you turn out gay kind of thing. Like, that's a whole spiel. And I was like, I don't necessarily think that that's true, but I think like there's a fear, like there's a fear of coming out, you know, that people have, like, no matter what. And I feel like when you're molested as a kid and you start to heal from that and you start to deal with that, the idea of coming out is so less scary than being abused. And so like, if you're like, oh, I overcame this abuse, yeah, I'm gay, whatever. It's not a big deal. I'm like, it's not so much like there's more of a chance that you're gay. It's just like more likely that you're, if you're doing something to like better yourself, like to heal, that you're going to look at that as like so much less terrifying and so much better. Like, I'd rather be gay than, you know, ever be like that person that did this to me, or I'd rather be gay than feel fear, you know, over this or whatever, you know. And I know that that's like a doing a lot of healing over my own abuse is when I was like, oh my God, like, yeah, okay, I'm queer. Like, what the fuck? What? I'm scared I'm queer because
Right.
It's so much less scary to think about being gay when you realize that, like, because one of the reasons, like, it took me a long time to come out because of that notion.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't want to be gay because I was molested. And I was like, okay, but pretending I'm not because I was molested is literally the same thing.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, it's the same thing. Like, it's hiding who I am because someone did something bad to me is so much worse than accepting who I am despite that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so, you know, sorry, I'm going on a whole fucking whatever.
No, well, it's also like, I want to, you know, I don't want to.
Please.
There's a lot of people who never have to. Well, I don't know about numbers wise. But
right.
If you're cis and straight.
Yes.
And right. Especially if you're a cis man.
Yeah.
You. Part of the socialization is to not examine your sexuality.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Or just, to cut off any possibility, right?
Yeah. Like,
and I know it's not just men.
Right. Yeah.
I think that's what keeps cishetness as a dominant paradigm,
right?
Is the fear.
Right.
Or the shutting down of any other
ideas. Yeah. That could.
So that's all. I mean, if you're forced to.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying.
Right. No. Yeah.
Like, that's a privilege.
Yeah.
That you don't have to examine it. It doesn't do any good.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, anyway, that's sloppy.
Well, a lot of privileges don't do anyone any good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
even if, like, not having to think about something, not having to worry about something, it doesn't make you happier. It doesn't make you.
Right.
More satisfied with your life.
Right.
It doesn't make you more knowledgeable. It doesn't make you, like, there's so many things that privilege does too. And I'm not saying that as like, privilege actually is very hard. That's not what I mean.
Right.
I just mean like having that privilege doesn't mean that you're actually a better person. It often means the opposite.
Right.
Sorry. Especially when that privilege goes unchecked, unexamined, not thinking about it, not questioning it, just going about, you know, it's like, you know, when people are like, I'm not racist. And I'm like, no, you don't want to be racist. And those are two different things. You are racist because we live in a racist society. And it doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Just change the framing to, I don't want to be a racist. I don't want to be this.
Every time I'm like, this is such an easy out for this.
Right. I know.
Is it's systemic?
Mm-hmm.
We're racist without even trying, and that's the whole fucking point,
right?
of talking about systemic and institutionalized things, take the L and say, like, I didn't consider it, that I was acting in a way that is supported by systemic racism. It's easy as a white person to say that. Like, how hard is that? That's so much easier than just digging your heels in and saying, I'm not racist. Nah, la, 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 la.
Right, yeah. And then people are like, you sound even more racist. And it's like, well, you just, you, ooh, ew. What the fuck? Ow. No, no, no. Would you recommend this movie?
No, not really.
Yeah.
I think plenty. I mean, it does. It, you know, I chalk this up to the playwright, but it does pick an interesting intersection.
Yes. Yeah.
To explore.
Yeah.
I don't. You know, again, like I said, I didn't hate it as much as I expected to. It mostly. I was mostly annoyed and distracted by Streisand and Dreyfus sort of being themselves.
Right, yeah. I felt like I didn't say why I kept laughing, but like I felt like there was so much work to make her look like glamorous, you know, while she's in a mental hospital being told she's unfit to stand trial. And I was like, I get it. She's I do think Barbara Streisand is very beautiful. I think she's got great looks. I think she has, you know, she's probably spent tons of money to make sure. I don't mean that like on as like work goes, you know, but like, you know, she probably has like $1,000 moisturizer that she uses and shit like that. She probably spends like $500 on shampoo and shit like that. You know, she probably spends a lot of money. So, you know, she's not going to be like, yes, fuck it up, you know, like, so I get it, you know. Mm-hmm. But like the backlighting and like the lighting on her fucking eyes when she's testifying in court, I'm like, do we really need it to be like fucking glamour
it's too
lighting?
Much. She's washed out.
It's so, it's so weird that it was just like, it was very weird. Again, like I said, I felt like she was doing a great performance for, if it was on stage, like she was doing the projection and her voice and she's doing all this stuff. And it was great. I'm like,
she
wish.
So much hair work.
But I feel like I don't necessarily think I would recommend this for just like a Friday watch, just like a fun little Friday night watch, you know.
Yeah.
But I think this would be an interesting discussion piece. I think if you're looking for something that's like you're looking for something that's going to start a discussion on intersectionality or start a discussion on like, you know, the justice system and like how people are treated. Like, just I think it's a very interesting and easily palatable, you know, foot in the door sort of thing. Right. So I would definitely recommend it if that's something that you're trying to like for a class or something like that. You know, or like a discussion that you're having. Yeah. I think it would be great for that, honestly. However, it doesn't hold its own enough to be like a outstanding film. And like I said, the end credits when it's like, she was acquitted and this person is no longer practicing medicine.
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, I don't fucking care. I really
don't
fucking care. Right. I don't fucking care. Like, this is not, and that's why I was like, is this a real story? Like,
I know.
But it made me think, well, it's reminding me now that I'm talking about it a little bit. I think like, something that The Sinner, specifically the first season of The Sinner did was it's a very, like, it's hard because it's like there's different aspects of this because a middle-class white woman or an upper-class white woman, they are going to be treated vastly different than a person of color or even a poor person, like anybody, like, does not matter. They're going to be treated vastly different. So I think it's an interesting thing to examine, like, how even they're often invisibilized. Like, you know, the whole point of the first season of The Sinner is like, no one asked questions.
Right.
No one asked questions. And there were so many assumptions. And it's like that she was addicted to heroin and that she was, you know, and all of these things where it's like, no one's addicted to heroin and then just stops doing it and never does it again. Like, no one does it for like a month for like 30 days straight and then never goes back to it. Like, that's not, you know, like, there's so many things that were unanswered and like so many things where she was taught to invisibilize herself to make herself smaller.
Yeah.
And so she did, And then everyone else did the same. And so she didn't have advocacy. Mm. And she's a middle-class white woman who, you know, ended up going crazy and killing someone. And everyone's like, a person she didn't know for absolutely no reason. And none of that was true.
Right.
It's just that no one asked questions.
Right.
When, you know,
like American Nightmare kind of.
Exactly. I mean, right. I mean, it's a little bit different, but like, you know, I definitely like The Sinner is something I definitely recommend again for something like a conversation piece of like to examine the way that like, you know, she was put on medication because, you know, she had an anxiety disorder, like all this stuff. And it's like, she was severely traumatized and no one ever helped her with that, you know? And so that sort of thing of like, it's so much easier to call someone crazy. It's so much easier to say that someone snapped. It's so much easier to say that they're incompetent than it is to listen to someone who has been hurt and is not responding in the way that you think is palatable. And how, like, if a, you know, even white women will suffer from that sort of like, you have to be palatable. If they don't know how to fit into that, they're going to suffer because of it.
Yeah.
And think of it like a person of color, a woman of color, specifically a black woman, specifically a black woman who is poor. They're going to suffer at such a greater rate of something like this. And they're going to be so much more invisibilized because they have to fight to be seen, you know, like in general, in the space of other women, yeah, you know, right. The safe space that a lot of people designate for women, a lot of women of color have to fight to be seen in those spaces as well. So I think it's like, yeah, this is like a very interesting, I feel so bad. I was like, I'll have a couple things to say. And then I just dominated the entire podcast. I'm so sorry.
It's fine. I didn't have a lot to say about it. So,
but also it's, you know, all of these conversation pieces is just a great, another way to just bring it back to like, fuck off Richard Dreyfuss, you absolute piece of fucking dumb shit. Like what an ugly fuck too. Like the older he gets, like, you know, like I think Richard Dreyfuss is someone who was like an attractive younger person. Like I think that he did have that, but he's just such a piece of shit that like, It's like the opposite effect, like that thing I say that we're like, if when someone's younger, I'm like not always attracted to them, but as they age, I'll be like, oh, they're hot. And then retroactively, they become hot. I'm like, oh, they were hot when they were young too. I just never noticed it. It's the opposite for him. I always thought he was kind of attractive and then he just got older and shittier. And now I look back and I'm like, ugh, what a fucking piece of shit. Like what a fucking rancid turd. God. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, like how they say like, well, they don't say this, but like how like dog shit isn't white anymore because they changed like the formula of dog food. He disproves that point. Fucking white piece of dog shit. I really don't like him. I really don't like him to the point that it's probably like my obsessiveness over liking Martin Donovan is like, that's how I feel about Richard Dreyfuss. I see him and I just want to like berate him. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, what a fucking piece of fucking shit. He's in something and I'm like, well, it can't be that
good.
It can't be that good. Richard Dreyfuss is in it. Like, I think this movie probably could have.
It's the worst thing about Jaws is that it gave him a career.
It's the worst thing about Hollywood is that Richard Dreyfuss exists. Fucking Christ. No. Well, not the worst thing. One of the worst things, though. I really don't like him. And he's just, the older he gets, the more he looks like an accident. Like someone was making something in, like they were making a clay statue of a gay pirate and slipped. And then they're like, whatever, I guess Richard Dreyfuss's face exists. He's just so fucking, I don't like him. I hate him. I want to end on a positive note. So I'm just going the fuck off on Richard Dreyfuss.
I want to give a couple production notes that please. I learned, which is that
Richard Dreyfuss shit his pants 3 times during the filming of this. And they just kept going because they couldn't tell the difference. I'm just kidding. No, please. I want to know. I want to know.
Universal Pictures bought the rights to the play when it was doing its initial Broadway run in 1980.
Damn.
And funded it's Broadway production.
Oh, wow.
You know, in to ramp up to a film.
Right.
And then they got nervous with the content.
Yeah.
And sold it to Warner Brothers.
Oh, wow.
And before they sold it, it was, they said, Mark Rydell, I don't know what else he's directed, was going to direct, and Deborah Winger was going to be the lead.
Oh, interesting.
Then, I guess old when it...
Debbie Wingy.
Yeah, when it changed hands, Streisand involved herself, and was the first woman to get paid $5 million, plus yeah. some a percent of yeah. the profits.
Yeah, because she did. She was like producer, and she...
Yes, Rydell left, citing creative differences.
Aw, she was going to
She
direct.
Took over producing roles, declined directing.
Yeah.
Thank God. And then they brought the other guy on, Rit, I think his name is.
Yeah.
But she also hired the cinematographer that they used was the person who did the documentary of her Broadway album.
It's called, this one doesn't have Richard Dreyfuss in it. That's what they call the her Broadway. I'm just kidding.
That's all.
Yeah. Sorry that I went so hard on shitting on.
It's fine. It's just.
I know. I know. I took it. I took over when you were trying to talk. I got overexcited.
Well, I guess I know what it feels like now.
It sucks, doesn't it?
To work with Richard Dreyfuss.
He doesn't work. He shits his pants.
Sure. So is it good to anything else?
As a not a lesbian.